jump on over to my opening monologue. As always, brought to you by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care in places like, Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. They are epic good at what they do. And y'all, they are the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and we appreciate it. So we're going to talk about national insecurity in a minute. And we have to, by default, talk about the southern border. The crisis at the southern border has reached an epic level. I mean, so much so that if it were not true, it'd be hard to believe. I mean, you look at it, if we were not actually seeing the millions of illegals streaming across our border every single day, we would imagine the narrative to be something out of a dystopian novel or a scene from some war-torn refugee crisis in another hemisphere. Texas is standing in the gap right now. Texas is standing in the gap doing all it can while Arizona just wrings its hands and California just giggles. The Biden administration has opened up a floodgate, and there is no reasonable explanation for why people are allowed to travel here illegally while Americans must show their ID simply to get a flight to another state. The other day, just to be allowed to access my business records with the IRS, I actually had to submit any and all personal information, a copy of my driver's license front and back, and submit to a facial identification app's scrutiny after being required to first download the app to my phone and then confirm it on my computer. Unbelievable. It felt so invasive. But yet illegals walk across the border with a phone number written on their arm and they gain entrees without so much as a how do you do and go off to their so-called sponsor's house. It reminds me what I had to go through just to take a trip to Mexico not so long ago. See, when I got home from my second tour downrange, that time it was Baghdad, Charlene and I decided we were going to take a cruise, spend some time together. There was a group of friends going on a cruise out of New Orleans, and we decided to jump on board. We were excited. The planning began. What would we do on our port of call in Mexico? What meals would there be on the ship? What would our cabin look like? Did we get everything we needed? Oh, yeah. We need to get our papers together, even though it'd only be a one-day port of call because we were entering a foreign country that cares about its borders. We had to present at the gate either a valid passport or an original copy of our birth certificate with two other forms of ID, one of which had to be a picture ID. No problem. Until I realized that my passport had expired. Okay, no worries. I'll just use my birth certificate. It's right there in the files at the house, except 5 days before the trip when I went to get it, you guessed it was gone. I tore that house apart, y'all. The only thing I could figure is that the original copy of it must have gotten misplaced during all of my military deployment activities to Afghanistan or Iraq. So now I'm stressed, right? The tickets were non-refundable. And to make matters worse, I was not born anywhere around here. You see, my dad was in the Army. And when I was born, we were stationed at what was then Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, a military post that no longer exists. Holy cow. So the next thing I know, I'm on the phone with the state of New Jersey. Well, it turns out that unlike most states, New Jersey does not centralize their birth certificate records. So I had to track down the actual courthouse that held the records of my birth on an Army installation that no longer exists. For the love. So after some sleuthing, I managed to figure out that the records for Fort Monmouth were kept at one location in one courthouse where one sweet lady worked. That woman was wonderful. She treated me like her own grandson. She loved the fact that after 2 years at war, Charlene and I were taking a cruise together. It became her mission in life to find the archived records of my birth from 1965 and have one printed out, certified, and overnighted to me. And by golly, she did it. Except that it didn't get there. On the day before our departure, FedEx did not arrive with my papers. So I got on the phone with FedEx. And after routing me through multiple offices and customer service lines that were not that helpful, I found out someone who worked at a FedEx hub might be able to track down my package. They might know where it was going to go. I have no idea how this happened, but somehow, some way, I wound up with the name and the cell phone numbers of the actual driver who was supposed to have my package in his truck. Wow. All right, I got him on the phone, which by itself was crazy. He became my new best friend. He listened to my story. He commiserated what I was having to go through. He took my number. He said he'd call me right back, and he did. He called me 10 minutes later. He said, "You're not going to believe this, man." I went out to the truck with a flashlight and scanned around, and dang if I didn't find it, slid down behind the shelves in the back. I'm sending it to you right away, first thing in the morning. Okay, that's great. But there's another problem. We were leaving the next morning for New Orleans. We had to stay one night in the hotel and then board the ship the next day. Okay, so he asked me what hotel I was staying at. Said he would waive the charges, get the package to the hotel no later than 9 a.m. Well, that's good, because we had to board the ship at 10:30. So we left for New Orleans. We stayed the night at a really nice hotel with our friends, and the next morning, while everyone else was loading their luggage onto the shuttle bus, I was standing out there by the main desk holding my breath and watching the clock. And at 8:55, FedEx actually delivered my original certified copy of my birth certificate to the hotel lobby, and I could have hugged the driver. So I walked from there to load our suitcases, proceeded up to the cruise with my sweet wife. We got to customs. I was actually carrying my FedEx envelope, plus a driver's license, plus a military ID, all of which gave me the chance to spend a whole 8 hours on Mexican soil. All of that for 8 hours on Mexican soil. That's it. And by then, I really needed a vacation, to be honest. But just think about what I just described. Because it's really not funny. In fact, it's almost ironic. Think about it. I'm a U.S. citizen. I had just returned from 2 years at war. The effort I had to expend to satisfy customs and immigration that I was who I said I was and that Mexico ought to feel safe allowing me to walk the streets of their country for a whole 8 hours. But today, people can climb the wall, swim the river, push our guards around, and demand entry into our nation from Mexico simply because they want to. You may recall a story on the news from the early days of the Biden presidency is body cam footage. Footage that actually required a Freedom of Information Act request to get. Footage from a police officer in upstate New York who could not believe it when a plane landed at his airport in the dark of night and offloaded scores of illegal immigrants. Scores of them. With ICE officials telling the guy with the body cam to mind his own business, they didn't want any attention. Literally saying that as they moved them in the dark to avoid the press and all the public outcry. Walking them to a hangar where they hung up black tarps so the officer could no longer directly observe and proceed then to effect the release of all these illegals into communities in New York. We're learning this has been happening over and over and over again across the United States, and like the officer whose body cam captured the video who said on the recording, well, it's happening because you know who is in office. Well, that is the fact. U.S. citizens like me have to jump through hoops and show three forms of ID just to be allowed to travel for a day excursion to Mexico. But our border with Mexico is nothing but an open gateway for anyone who cares to wet their feet in the Rio Grande. I mean, how do they sleep at night in places like D.C., where U.S. citizens have to show their paperwork just to be allowed to eat in a restaurant or frequent certain retail establishments or sporting events? When did it become acceptable to deliberately attempt to deceive the people of this country by shuttling illegals in the dark of night into our backyards and parking lots while requiring a different standard for our own citizens across the other direction? If there is any wonder as to why we need to see conservatives, not just Republicans, y'all, but conservatives, win in the upcoming election cycles, let that situation be a catalyst. This is our country. This is our home. This is our house. It is not reasonable to expect a law-abiding citizenry to have to be patient with this level of mistreatment. The election's coming, and all you right-side ruffians need to have your game face on. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it was a great cruise, by the way. We had a good time. But I kid you not, the stress that I went through trying to get just the right paperwork and the levels of ID I had to have to be allowed to step foot off the ship and spend 8 hours on Mexican soil. 8 hours. And yet they come to our border and they cross willy-nilly with zero concern or compunction because they know they're going to be allowed in. It ain't right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.